Well, this morning we are going to be looking at a powerful chapter in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and there's a lot there, and I'm going to try to not get stuck on any minor stuff, because if there's one chapter in the entire Bible that talks the most about the resurrection and explains the most stuff about it, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very, very, very important chapter in the Bible. It's a long chapter as well. You're going to see that it has 58 verses, so it's long, and it covers a lot of stuff. So let's ask the Lord to help us, and then we're going to plunge in. Dear Lord, we ask you to illumine our minds. I know, Heavenly Father, that as I stand here, there's a lot of folks here that have been Christians for quite a while. I know some may be newer along the way, but some are seasoned saints, and they've read books, and they've heard a lot of messages. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember the things we've studied. And I pray, Lord, that you would be our teacher, your Holy Spirit would shine the light on things that maybe we haven't understood well to this point. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. And by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached. Otherwise, you believed in vain. This is one of these little paragraphs. It has a key word in it. If you want to have a little fun, circle the word. And the word is if. Verse 2, one more time. By this gospel you are saved. And then you find that little word, if. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you will have believed in vain. The importance here is holding firmly. Now, we could say and try to ask all kinds of questions of this verse, but I don't think that would be really fair of it right now. The important thing is the whole notion of holding firmly. Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 13, I just want to highlight real quick. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus shared a couple of parables, but the first one is called the parable of the sower. He tells the story about a farmer that went out and sowed his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus goes on a little bit further, and he explains this parable. Verse 24. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. That's not the where he explains it. Verse 18, that's where he explains it. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Anyone who hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Well, I don't know about you, but if you hear any truth about Jesus, it should make you want to dig in and know more. Dig in and do whatever it is required of you, because in life, there's nothing more important than that. Amen? I mean, who cares if you end up with a job where you make lots and lots of money, but you never find and enter into that walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you have? You have a career. You have an office with your name on it. But you're only going to have it for a certain amount of time. Someone else is going to have that office. You could spend great sums of money, and you could buy yourself a tremendous house, or you could buy a whole bunch of houses. But it's only going to be a matter of time. before other things will come in and replace those things, and they'll be gone because times move on. And the things that matter are things that are associated with that beautiful name, and the beautiful name is Jesus. And so the first time you hear even the smallest little bit about him, it needs to make you hunger to say, I need to know more about him. I need to know what I need to do to be closer to him and to be like him. Because I'm telling you what, people that follow along that path are people that are very happy they followed along that path. And they talk about some people here, and they don't do anything about it. And those people are sort of like the ones that the seed that fell along and the birds came and ate it up before it had any opportunity to grow. I had somebody ask me recently who was looking at our sanctuary, and I know it's a gymnasium that turns into a sanctuary on Sunday. And they go, why do you have these bits of wood, these benches here up in the front? Well, I'll tell you why we have them. These are a place of prayer. And not every Sunday, but there are some Sundays when I get to the end of preaching a message where it just seems like it would be very appropriate to give people an opportunity to respond. So maybe I'm going to preach about following Jesus, and I'm going to give people an opportunity. Maybe this is a time when you want to start to follow Jesus, or maybe this is a time when you want to tell the Lord about something and make some changes in your life. I know that one way how the devil often works is if he can get you distracted, that if you can make it to your car, that if you can flip open the phone and just see if you've got any messages or notifications, whatever he had been talking to you about in here, it's very easy to get distracted on something else. And coming down to an altar of prayer is coming to a place where I say, I'm going to take care of this right now. I'm not going to let my phone distract me. I'm not going to let my life distract me. Before I do anything else, I'm going to talk to the Lord now. I'm going to nail down the things that I think are most important. And that's why we have this, for times like that, for giving people an opportunity to talk and do something about it now. Because you don't want to be like the seed that was sown along the path. Verse 20 says, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. And I tell you, putting down root is very, very important. Putting down root, there's something about turning to Jesus which requires life adjustments. And it's different for different people. I mean, for a lot of folks, one of the big first adjustments is an adjustment to say, I'm going to start going to church. Because there's something about being here and being with other Christians and praying and praising that we need. You know, being here is something that opens us up to be taught by God, to be blessed by him. Sometimes the Lord uses us to bless other Christians as well. And but for some folks, making life adjustments, whatever it is, when we respond to Christ, can get complicated. I know one lady, and she got introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was excited for her. It was a wonderful time. But then it was a couple days later, I got a call from her, and she explained to me and explained what her life was like. She was married to a man that was a very hard man. And this man was not a Christian man. And he did not want his wife being a Christian. He didn't want his wife going to a church or having anything to do with it. And I didn't know what to say. I'm kind of used to a family where husband and wife kind of are in harmony. And this wasn't the way it was in this particular woman's home. And it was very, very difficult for her to try to figure out what she was going to do, because she knew in her heart that there was things that she felt like she was supposed to do to follow Jesus. And her husband didn't want her changing anything. There was a challenge. And I will tell you that there are some people that when challenges have come up, they have been unwilling to make those challenges. They've had their reasons, and they haven't. And they're sort of like what Jesus is talking about. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time. Only last for a short time. That's not what you want when it comes to the Lord Jesus. Getting introduced to him is only the beginning. There are things that you find along the way that are wonderful. And there's an old song that goes, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That's the truth. There are things that you're not going to understand until you've been walking with him for a while. And there's things that it takes a while to develop, like a real prayer life. You know, you may think, well, any learning how to pray. I don't have to learn how to pray. Just talk to God. Well, the more time you spend in the Word, and the more time you spend in talking to him, you're going to find that he's going to give you wisdom about how to pray. And you're going to learn how to sense things in your spirit. And you're going to remember Scripture. And it's going to be a part of how you think. And your communion with God is going to go deep over time. And it's something that you can only know if you've been in it for a long, long time. And that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want to have just something where you get all excited at first, but then it's over. He wants to have that type of relationship with you. Verse 22. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out and make it unfruitful. Worries of life. There's enough worries, aren't there? I was reading an article just recently, and they were talking about depression in the United States. And they're talking about, for both men and women, what some of the top stresses, what they look at as causes of depression are. And one of the top things among people these days is fear for the direction our world seems to be going. So if you have ever laid up at night and felt like it seems like our world is heading in the wrong direction, well, guess what? There's a lot of people that lay up at night and think the same thing. You know, sometimes we shake our heads. We go, how in the world did it get like this? How in the world? I don't know about you, but the whole idea of being able to abort a baby right up to the day of his birth is just, how did it get like that? I don't know. I find it so troubling. And the worries of this life are something that can just eat you right up. Because how worry goes is it gets you just constantly going over the worries. Over and over and over. And it can steal your sleep at night. It can steal your peace. It can steal your joy in your family. Maybe you've got a date night prepared for you and your wife, and you're going to go out and have a tremendous time, and the worries hit, and it's like you can't be at peace and enjoy each other. You're too stressed out about whatever it is that's weighing on you. Worries in life. The deceitfulness of wealth. There are lies that can be associated with wealth. One of the lies is that your security in life comes through wealth. And the truth is that you might think that you're secure, but goodness gracious, all you need is something to change. I remember it was about 15 years ago, we had the economy tanked around here. When I first moved here 20 years ago, there was 3,000 people living in Claremont. And within 10 years of me living here, it went from 3,000 to 30,000. We used to look down this hill here, and it was just field. And now it's all houses. And that's the way it is because a lot of places in Claremont. Well, what happened was the economy tanked, and a lot of people lost those houses. A lot of the people that lived around here worked. They were plumbers, and they were roofers, and they were people that were, you know, doing things that were associated with the building industry. And all of a sudden, they're losing their jobs, and they're not. So there were streets. I knew people that lived on a street where they were the only person living in a house. All the other houses on their street were sitting empty. There were neighborhoods where they started the site work, and they went down, and they put in the pads, but nothing got built on top of those pads. Nothing grew on top of those pads except for weeds for a number of years. And I remember our school at that time. I remember going on a field trip to Disney's Typhoon Lagoon. And I looked around, and I saw the most unusual sight in the world. Normally, all the lifeguards are people that are 18, 19, and 20. I'm going to tell you what I saw that day. I saw lifeguards that were 40, 50, and 60. And I'm thinking, how in the world, I don't know if lifeguard pay is enough to pay to support a household. I thought that was kind of money for a young person who's just getting started in life. So I talked with them. I'm like, how did you end up here as a lifeguard? They're like, well, I thought I was all set in life. And I had savings. I had investments. And I thought I was in good shape. But the economy changed. And I watched money that I thought I was secure in disappear. And I'm working here in order to make ends meet. And then I met some others that were older. They say, I was retired, and I thought I was all set. And now I have to go back to work. You see, our security does not come in wealth. You can say, well, I'm going to be secure because I am going to diversify somehow. But you know what? Things can turn. And the way that you think things are going to go, it could go another way. And our security does not come in our wealth. Our security comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give us wisdom on how we should do things. And he will give us peace. Sometimes another way that wealth can be deceitful is telling us that our value is based on how much of the wealth we can accumulate. But there's no end to that either. Because there's always somebody else who has more. I remember before my wife and I bought the house that we were in, we were going around looking at sample houses, and we went into one house, and Christian was with us. It was pretty funny. We went into this one, and there was a lady who was working in the sales office, and she walked us around, and she was very insistent that she didn't want children messing up any of the bedspreads in those rooms at the sample home. You know, so she was. We had Christian and Jenny, like, stand right next to us, kids, as we walk through and look and everything. And I decided I'd strike up a little conversation. You know, they had a dining room table all set. And I thought it was unusual that none of the silverware was silverware. It was all gold. And I said, wow, I said, this is fancy. And she goes, it's the way I like things. And I said, really? She goes, oh, I like the finer things in life. I said, like what? She goes, oh, I like to eat off gold. And I was suddenly feeling like I'm in the wrong place. And Tammy and I got home. And I'm walking through our place, and I said, you know, I sort of feel poor. You know, our value is not based on like, what you eat off, whether it's silver, gold, stainless steel, or plastic. That is not where your value is found, is it? Let me tell you what, if you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your value is found in Him. And if He has declared that you are righteous and that you belong to Him, you are priceless because you're His. And He likes to take His people and put them all over the place. And if you are a person that He has selected to put in a place in life where it seems like you have a lot of earthly things, praise His name and use that as an opportunity to be a blessing to others. Maybe He has put you in a place where you are in a more humble circumstance. Praise His holy name and enjoy the things you have because they are a gift from Him. And wherever you are, if you have Him, where you are is wonderful. That's the truth. Wherever you are, if you're with Him, is just wonderful. Uncle Buddy Robinson found the Lord Jesus Christ as a young adult. And he says, one of the most wonderful things is being able to read God's Word. And some people say that they don't have electricity in their house, so that's the reason why they can't read God's Word. And he says, I'll tell you right now, you've got the sunshine to read God's Word by. And then you can go out, and on the night when the moon is shining, you can stand, and by the light of the moon, you can read God's Word. And maybe you've got enough money for candles. You can read God's Word by candlelight. Or maybe you're one of the people who have gas lamps in your house. Ooh, you can read it by gaslight. But it doesn't matter. The fact is you get to read God's Word, which is so precious, and it's so wonderful. And don't let the deceitfulness of wealth tell you what your value is. Your value is determined by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the worries of this world, deceitfulness of wealth, can choke out the Word and make it unfruitful. We don't want that. We want to be fruitful for the Lord. Verse 23, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. You get to the end of this thing, and the call is to be that type of soil, of saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm hearing you, and I am listening for you, and I want to learn from you. And everything you tell me are things that I want to do. And things that you show me are things that I just want to take in and think about. And if you want me to act, I will act. And everything I have belongs to you. I belong to you. My family belongs to you. All my resources, I've given my past to you. My future is yours. That's what he wants. And a life like that says it produces a crop. And you know, they're talking about a crop like a bountiful tree, but they're talking about a person's life. And I'll tell you what, a person's life that produces a crop is going to be reflected in effect on other people, and you're also going to see it in personal holiness. You know, you get looking around a person's life, a godly person's life, and you're just going to see the fingerprints of Jesus all over the thing. I was lucky this past week. I was adopted as a child, and just this past week, I figured out who my birth father was. And come to find out, my birth father has a younger brother who's still alive. And on Thursday, I went and met him, and we had lunch. And he was so excited about me coming, and they had heard rumors about this baby that was born out of wedlock, and that was me, and they got to meet that baby. And they had a whole stack of pictures for me and all these stories and this, that, and the other. And I got to see various treasures. And one of the things that had the biggest impact on me was my birth grandmother was a godly woman. And after she had got done raising kids, she somehow enrolled in I can't remember where it was at, but in some sort of Bible college to get some kind of degree at a Bible college. This was years and years and years ago. And the reason that she did it is she just wanted to be the best Christian that she would because she loved the Lord and she was a woman of prayer. And I got to see and hold and look through her Bible. And so I'm looking through page after page after page with writing all over the place and bits of prayer written in there. And I mean, you think you get it all on this one page, and then you turn the page again and you're like, man, she prayed through that page. And you're just looking through this. And I mean, this is her private Bible that other people, I mean, this wasn't for everybody. This was her private thing. And it's like, in her heart of hearts, Jesus was Lord. And I think of a lot of the stories that I got to hear about how other people's lives were affected because of her life. That is a picture of a life that is like one that is bearing an abundant crop. I mean, she affected other people. She grew to become a holy person because she belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's his will for all of us. He wants us to be like that, like the seed that fell on the good soil. And, you know, I should go back to 1 Corinthians 15, but I think I want to wrap this message up with this thing here. The more I was looking through old records and everything and genealogies, trying to figure out who in the world my birth dad was and who I'm related to, I saw a lot of records of a lot of people's lives. And it's interesting, and life goes by really fast. You know, it just does. It goes by real fast. And what you choose to spend your time on, that's kind of going to be your legacy. And I've seen the legacy of some people that really followed hard after the Lord. And you can look and you can see the evidence of it through their life. And in the same way, I saw records of people that had a lot of other things, but it doesn't seem like they really had any room for the Lord. You can see that too. Both of them got old and both of them died, but they left different legacies. And for us, the time to be all in with the Lord Jesus Christ is not sometime in the future. It's now. If there's something that the Lord wants you to do, even if it required a big, bold step, now's the time to do it. Not wait till you get this financial thing in a certain way, or not wait till your family gets... I mean, if the Lord has made clear that he wants you to take some step of faith, some step of obedience, some step of trust in him, the time to do it is right now. Let me pray for you. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of life. We realize that our lives are an opportunity. We also know that your scripture tells us that there's going to come a day when we are all going to have to stand before you and we're going to have to give an account for these lives we've lived. And I pray that you would give us wisdom and a sensitive heart. And Heavenly Father, I just pray if there's any areas in our lives where maybe we just haven't been living all in for you, I pray that you would cause those things to become very clear for what they are. And help us to see what adjustments we should make. And Heavenly Father, if there's any here this morning that have been holding on to a dream for a long time, a dream of something they should do or some step they should take, I pray that today would be a day of trust and boldness. We just make our mind up that today's a good day to do it. I've been thinking about it for too long. Today will be a day. when I'm going to commit myself and I'm going to do this thing. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness. We thank you that you speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be like those seeds that fell in the good soil. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.